Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, it's so close we can taste it. Just a day away from opening day, Thursday night, the Guardians and A's get together to open the season in Oakland. You're out there now. They have a workout this afternoon, and then it's go time after that. Cleveland comes off a loss in their final exhibition game in Phoenix. Tristan McKenzie went six innings, struck out seven. What'd you think of Tristan's outing?
Yeah, I thought Tristan, looked good, Joe. He was probably his best start of the year. He gives up a two-run homer, that kind of put him behind the eight ball at 3-1. But struck out seven in six innings. I like the fact when after he gave up the home run, he struck out the side in order. And he felt very good after the game. He said, knock on wood, you got out of here healthy, right? And he goes, no more knocking on wood. Spring training's over. I'm healthy. So I think he was most pleased with that after what happened to him, last spring when he got injured just during his last start of spring training and really kind of kicked off a nightmare year for him.
Yeah, it's a different perspective for a guy who sees it as, that's the accomplishment, is getting through that last start and feeling healthy and being on the opening day roster like he wasn't able to be last year. So great for Tristan McKenzie. Great approach and great attitude about that. And manager Stephen Vogt, after the game, sort of explained some of his reasoning behind the order that he sort of set up for the starting rotation with Shane Bieber and then Logan Allen, followed by Tanner Bibee, Carlos Carrasco, and Tristan McKenzie. What were some of Vogt's thoughts on why he decided to put that order together in terms of the pitchers?
Yeah, I think he wanted to split up Shane Bieber and Tanner Bibee, so they're going to start Logan Allen in the second game on Friday night. And then, they brought in a Carrasco as the fourth starter, Carlos Carrasco. And that was to give Tristan an extra day of rest before he opens the season April 1st in against Seattle at T-Mobile Park.
Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking that Shane Bieber is going to be a guy who can give you, five, six, maybe seven innings in that first start, if he can go out there and be Shane Bieber and what he's shown throughout the spring and really who he is when he's healthy, you expect him to go deep against Oakland and maybe not have to use your bullpen and then have everybody saved up and rested up. If Logan Allen goes short in game two, you expect Tanner Bibee to be able to give you a few more innings there. So you're kind of protected and don't blow out your bullpen within the first three games of the season. You kind of want to see everybody, play everybody get into games within those first, four, five, six games of the season. You want to make sure that everybody's at least touched the field, but you don't want your bullpen guys going out there in the first two games and, having to throw a ton of pitches. Somebody might be heading out real quick if the bullpen gets burned through, in short order. So I like that, and I like the idea of giving McKenzie an extra day, getting his feet under him, getting ready, because you want him to finish strong. I would expect him to be limited in terms of his pitch counts and his innings, at least through the first couple of months of the season. Is that something Stephen Vogt said?
I think so. I think they're going to be careful with him, Joe. But he threw 80 pitches yesterday, six innings. So he said, with what he did there, I think three runs allowed, six innings, 80 pitches, seven strikeouts. You know, Stephen Vogt said they take that from Tristan every time out.
That's great. All right. So as we head towards the start of the season, I want to remind our listeners, subtext is the best way to get in touch with Hoynesy and with me, or to get our feedback and our insight in terms of what we're seeing on a daily basis around the club. It's a subscription texting service. You sign up for $3.99 a month. Right on your phone. It goes directly to your text messages. You don't have to mess with social media or anything like that, and you don't miss anything. You get alerts right to your phone. You sign up by going to cleveland.com/subtext or by sending a text message to 216-208-4346. Hoynesy, we've got some expectations, some pretty high expectations, I think, for this club. But I think some of them are pretty tempered and reasonable. If you just look at, you know, the way that some of these young players have grown and developed over the last couple of years, I don't think any of our expectations that we're going to roll out here in a second are completely outrageous or outlandish. But I think that it's going to be a fun little exercise to go back and forth. I'm interested to hear what you're expecting from this club in the 2024 season. Now, we're not our record predictions and, you know, where they'll finish in the American League Central, that kind of thing. We're saving for posts that are coming up this afternoon on cleveland.com. But I think this is a fun little exercise to go through. And so what's your first expectation for the Guardians this season as far as what we're going to see out of them on the field?
Yeah, Joe, this isn't exactly a surprise, but I expect Jose Ramirez to make his sixth straight All-Star game. He's probably, you know, obviously he's one of the best players in the game, and really a kind of a model of consistency in his eight plus years in Cleveland. Just, you know, offensively, defensively. He does it all, and it doesn't look like he looks like he's ready for another big year, Joe.
Yeah, I think that's Hoynesy going out on a limb and saying Jose Ramirez will be an All-Star. I think that's it's a slam dunk. I would agree with you. That's a great expectation for this club, and I think Jose is somebody who expects that of himself. And if that's not if that expectation isn't reached, I think he would be tremendously disappointed in himself there. My first one, I expect Stephen Kwan and Andrés Giménez to both be finalists for Gold Glove Awards in the American League again this year. But I think only one of them is going to win. I don't know. Right now, I haven't decided which one I think is going to win. But I think out of the two of them being finalists, I think only one is going to get the honor this year. Right now, I might lean a little towards Giménez there at second base being the guy because there are other guys in the American League who are going to be playing in the outfield. It's going to be a tougher competition for Stephen Kwan this year.
Yeah, I like that prediction, Joe. I like that expectation. Both, you know, really above average defenders. And I think, you know, once you win one, once you win two, like both those guys have, and, Giménez has won the Platinum Glove, that goes a long way. That's part of the criteria for electing Gold Glove winners is based on, you know, analytics, but reputation still carries some weight too. So I think both those guys are in very good position.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, you'd win one or two, and then it was just reputation would carry you for as long as you were, you know, upright and making it through the season half the time. But now it's a little tougher, and I think Kwan is take nothing away from his defense. I think he's excellent across the board. I just think that it's going to be tougher for him to win one in left field this year. What's your next expectation, Hoynsie?
The next expectation, Joe, is Josh Naylor is going to reach 100 RBIs for the first time in his career. Now, Joe, he finished with 97 last year. That was a team leading 97 RBIs last year. And I think he would have easily reached 100 if he hadn't missed all of August with the oblique injury. So I'm not exactly going out on a limb there, but I've really liked the way Naylor swung the bat this spring, Joe. You know, he hasn't overswung. He's hitting, you know, with runners in scoring position, which is something he really did last year. He just seems like he's upped his game in confidence, and I think that's going to result in a big year offensively and his first year over the century mark in RBIs.
Yeah, I think that the word there is consistency, and I think he sort of figured it out and achieved it at some point in the offseason before last year. And like you said, had he been healthy, that would have definitely gotten him over 100 RBIs last season. And that same consistency could carry him to that that century mark again this year. I would not be surprised, just like you, to see that happening. My expectation is for Brian Rocchio to hit 20 doubles and 5 home runs and slug 380 this year, which would all be, you know, under the marks that he put up in a full season at AAA last year. But they'd still be, you know, far better than any production, any productivity that the Guardians got at shortstop over the last several years in terms of power production and run production. I think he'll eventually clarify himself as the answer for this franchise at shortstop. You know, he had 33 doubles and 7 home runs at AAA last year. I know it's not the big leagues, but it shows you. You know, if you give him 500 at bats, if you give him consistent regular playing time in that spot, I think he'll grow into that. And I think the sky's the limit for this kid.
Yeah, I think, Joe, that's a safe assumption, a safe expectation. I like the fact that he's going to play every day, or he's going to see the majority of the playing time at shortstop. He looks a little, you know, he cuts. Like any rookie, he looks a little bit nervous to me at short. You know, the easy plays kind of befuddle him at sometimes. But I think, like you said, if once he settles in, he knows he's a guy, he knows he belongs here. I really like his offensive potential. I like the fact that he's a switch hitter. You can keep him in the lineup against lefties and righties. I think this is going to be really kind of an eye-opening year for Rocchio.
That's that would be interesting. And you know, do you think he could maybe work his way into the conversation at Rookie of the Year? If we're talking about that at the end of, you know, September, that he's consistently, you know, performed at that level, that's something that, you know, maybe he might be on the table as a Rookie of the Year possibility. But I think he's going to have, again, really tough competition in that regard. There's a shortstop that is waiting in the wings in Baltimore. Can you believe that they put Jackson Holliday at AAA after all this talk this off season about how he could open the year in Baltimore, and now he doesn't make the club out of spring training? What'd you think of Baltimore's decision to put Jackson Holliday in the minors?
I'm not surprised, Joe. I mean, you know, these guys, the last thing these guys want to do is rush a prospect, especially a high profile prospect, get him to the big leagues and then have him struggle, then have to send him back. Then you have to work on his confidence. It's much easier to let a kid play at AAA or AA. And, you know, I think the Tito factor comes in here, and he has nothing to do with Baltimore. But I think you want a young player to come to the big leagues when he's hot. So he hits the ground running. You know, he's not starting from square one. And I think that carries over. So I'm not surprised at that.
Well, I'll tell you, the national writers, the national media, guys like Ken Rosenthal were just clutching their pearls. They just how could you do such a thing? And no Jackson Holliday on the opening. It's robbing baseball of its brightest young star. Oh, and who makes the decisions? Who do these guys think makes the decisions on these players? Why would you react that way if you thought all along, oh, it's a slam dunk, Jackson Holliday was going to be on the roster? But you know, we have digressed way too far off of our original topic here. Hoisey, what's your next expectation for the Guardians in 2024?
I've got a big year for the Naylor brothers. I expect Josh and Bo Naylor to combine to hit for 35 home runs this season. And I don't think that's over the top. You know, that might, you know, it's kind of right, you know, between over the top and conservative. So, but
Wait. What would be an over the top number in your mind? If I said 40, would you think, no, that's way too much?
Yeah, I think 40 might have been pushing it. You know, I might have been putting seeing something that's not there yet. But I like the fact that Bo hit 10 of his 11 home runs after the break last year when he got to play every day. And Josh hit 17 last year, right, with missing a month of time. And, he had 20 home runs in 2022. So he's been there before. So I think I'm just going to go, it's a conservative pick, but I'm saying 35.
I mean, it's going to be interesting at the home opener when they get back to town and I go into that clubhouse and I go up to both Naylor brothers and say, Hoinsie doesn't think you guys can combine for 40 home runs this year, just to see what their reaction is, because I guarantee I'll do that. No, I'm not going to do that. But 35 home runs, I personally, when I saw that number for your expectation there, I thought it was a little low. So, yeah, maybe I'm just way overconfident. But, again, that presupposes that both of them stay healthy through the entire season, because I think if either one of them misses a month like Josh did last year, I think that 35 number is going to be a tough target to get. But if they play healthy and they stay out there and they get the regular playing time like we expect them to, I think 35 is a pretty easy number for them to achieve. My next expectation it has to do with the bullpen, the back end of the bullpen. Emmanuel Clase has been up over the 40 save mark for the last, two seasons back to back. I think Emmanuel Clase will save 32 games this year. That's the number I've got him at. But I also think Scott Barlow will save 10. And I think they're going to be smart about that. I think they're going to approach it a little differently than they have in the last couple of years. I think Emmanuel Clase is still your guy. He's still your top reliever in the American League in terms of coming out there and closing games. But I think the alarms might have gone off, and they might realize they want this guy to make it to the end of that contract, and they don't want to blow his arm out before then.
Yeah, Joe. So you're saying the days of Class A making 77 to 75 appearances a year are over?
I hope for Class A's sake that those days are over. And you've got a guy in Barlow who looks like, especially coming out of spring, you know, he looks pretty sharp. He looks like he'll be able to get you through some big innings there. And Class A doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who is going to throw a tantrum if, you know, in a situation where it could be him, it's Barlow instead, just because they want to buy him another day to rest his arm.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that works out. I like the fact that Barlow has done it before. You know, he was Kansas City's closer for several years. Last year he had, I think, 13 saves before he got traded to San Diego. So he's done it before. He's been there. He does it a different way, though, Joe. He's almost kind of a breaking ball pitcher, an off speed pitcher, where Class A is heat, you know. So it's an interesting combination.
So we're back to the days of Bob Wickman, Joe Borowski, and grinding
Doug
our
Jones
and white, yeah, Doug Jones, white knuckling it through the ninth inning on a lot of occasions. So There you go. What's your next expectation here for the Guardians?
My next one, and I'm like a dog with a bone with this one, Joe.
There you go.
I believe Miles Straw is going to be back in a Cleveland uniform at some time this year. I think we're going to see kind of a new version of Straw. I think we're going to see the guy we saw in the second half of 2081. I think he's going to, you know, get on base. I think he's going to steal base. Plus, you know, as always, play some good defense. But he's got to do it at AAA first. He's got to convince Cleveland to bring him back.
Yeah, I think this expectation will be the first one that we put a big red X through at the at some point. Because I'm gonna stick by my prophecy that the Guardians work out a trade with somebody and try to get out from under Miles Straw's contract early in the season, if not within the next 48 hours. I think that's. That's the one where we got you, Hoynesy. I think that's the one we're going to cross off.
Okay.
My expectation is that, speaking of calling guys back up from AAA, my expectation is that Kyle Manzardo makes his major league debut before June 1st. I kind of arbitrarily picked that June 1st date. I don't know what the service time rules are going to be and if they want to go that route, if they're going to, you know, hardcore stick to the service time manipulation idea. But I think there's going to be a need for Kyle Manzardo and his bat and his run production and, power production at some point within the first 2 months of the season. I think they're going to realize that and they're going to call him up before June 1st.
Yeah, that's interesting, Joe. I think, that could happen. I wonder what has to happen for that to happen.
Well, they got to make some tough decisions on some other guys, too. Maybe they work something out and send David Fry down to get some reps behind the plate or something like that. But
yeah.
they have to create a spot for him. And right now it's pretty tight. Maybe Estevan Florial doesn't work out in the outfield and they decide to go on with without him. But I, at some point, somebody has to be not producing in order for them to get Manzardo up here.
Yeah, I really like the way he swings the bat. And I think starting the year at Columbus, having some consistent playing time is going to help him. And I would not be surprised if he's not up here, Joe. I agree with you on that one.
All right. Now we come to our last expectations. I think these last two we sort of played around with, had a little fun with. I'm going to go first with mine. I expect that, Hoynesy, I know one of your favorite events of the year is the hot dog eating contest in New York on 4th of July. Yeah, I know you watched that with just your jaw on the floor watching the competitors shove hot dogs into their face. And I know that we were very close last year to almost seeing my expectation here become a reality. But I expect that this year we're going to get it done. I think that the folks in the Guardians public relations and their social media campaign could put the pressure on and get hot dog eating champion Joey Chestnut to Progressive Field. It would be perfect for him to throw out the first pitch before a dollar dog night. I think that would be too perfect. Maybe see him put on a demonstration and eat 40 hot dogs here or something like that. I know that our colleague Mandy Bell is a huge Joey Chestnut fan and is in favor of the idea of Joey Chestnut coming to the ballpark, throwing out the first pitch, getting a chance to meet him. I expect Joey Chestnut to throw out the first pitch at a Guardians game at Progressive Field this season. What would you do if Joey Chestnut showed up in the press box?
I'm not going to show up, Joe. My stomach hurts just watching that guy. I don't know where it all goes, Joe, but
you don't want to know where it goes.
It has to involve a trip to the emergency room.
We don't want to give Hoynesy any more stomach issues than he's had to deal with in the last couple of years. Hoynesy, what's your final expectation coming up for the Guardians here in the next couple of weeks?
You know, Joe, I know my timing is a little off here, but I expect a White Sox outfielder is going to lose a ball because of the after effects of the solar eclipse, and it's going to make the Guardians a winner. He's going to lose the winning hit. It's going to be a pop-up like to center field, a routine pop-up, but because of a stray effect from the solar eclipse, he's going to miss. He's going to lose the ball in the moon or something, and the Guardians are coming away with a win.
Well, I mean, it's not too far out of the realm of possibilities that, you know, some sort of circadian rhythm or something is messed up, because we know that dogs and cats run around in circles, and all the animals at the zoo do crazy things during eclipses. So not completely far-fetched, but yeah, I think by the time the game gets underway, we'll be in a sort of a normal lighting situation. So he won't be blinded or anything like that, but you know, maybe these guys will be wearing eclipse glasses when they're out there in the field. That could be interesting as well. All right. Those are our expectations for the Guardians in 2024. What we think is going to happen this season to several of the players. You notice how we didn't talk about a Shane Bieber trade there. I think that's a foregone conclusion, Hoynesy. I think everybody's sort of written that one off. Would you be surprised to see Shane Bieber on the roster in September?
I would, Joe. And I think that means one of two things. He's signed an extension with Cleveland, or two, they're in contention and they've decided to keep Bieber and ride him out and let him ride into free agency.
Yeah. And that would also result in a higher compensatory pick if he does sign somewhere else as a free agent. So we'll keep our eyes on that as well. Hoynesy, one more sleep and then baseball. We're good to go. Good to talk to you, and we'll be ready for the 2024 season the next time we talk to you, and we'll catch up then.
Good deal, Joe.